Most holy and gracious Father, we come to you on this morning just to say thank you. We thank you, Father God, for all who you have with us on this morning, and we thank you for those who weren't able to be here on this morning. But we ask right now, Father God, that preaching hour has come, and we ask that you would hide me behind the cross so that I may not be seen, but that you may be heard with what you have for us on this morning. I ask right now that you bless everyone in here, Lord God, and bring us a word, something that we could have, something that we could hold, and something that could uplift us and build us for the body of Christ. We thank you and we praise you and grace you in your son Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask that all who is physically able, if you would not mind, if you would stand for the reading of our word, as we will be coming from Romans chapter 15. We will be looking at one verse of scripture, verse 4. Romans chapter 15, verse 4. I'll be reading from the English Standard Version, and therein the reading is this: For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. This morning, I just want to talk from this subject, just follow the instructions. Thank you, you may be seated. Just follow the instructions. As many of you know, my wife, beautiful, no-haired lady, I love her. And my wife, she has some of these things that she loves to do. She loves to try new things. Well, on this year, our anniversary was in February, a few months ago. And what ended up happening for our anniversary was, my wife had planned this wondrous weekend that we would start and do all of these things that were out of the norm for us. So we put it together. She goes over it with me, and me, you know, not wanting to let her down, I say, okay, baby, yeah, we'll try that. Okay, love, we'll do that. And so we had this wonderful weekend. We go to Tampa. That's where we were, because we were in Clearwater. We're going to stay down there for the weekend. She has this glorious day planned out for us. We went. We had a beautiful and wonderful breakfast, ate breakfast, and had a lovely time. And then she had something planned that was really out of the norm. They have these new things that's called the escape room. I don't know if any of you know about those, but what happens is they have these escape rooms where you, watch this, you have to pay them to lock you in a room, and then they give you clues and all of this stuff, and they have all these things on the wall and these different things, themes that they have, and you have to be able to do what it takes to get out of the room. They give you 60 minutes. Tell you you need to go ahead and use the restroom if you need to, because you're going to be locked in. So we try this new thing. We go to this escape room. She has this theme for us. We go inside of the escape room. And here there is a guy. A guy comes in. He says, I'm going to explain to you what's going to happen here. You're going to do this and that, and you have to do this and you have to do that just to and you have 60 minutes, a whole hour, in order to come up with the answers so that you can unlock the door to be able to make your way out of the escape room. Well, we're in here, and after he gets to that place, he says, are you ready to go? And we say, yeah, we're standing there. I guess so, you know, let's do it. So we're in this escape room. Let's do it. Let's get it done. And what ends up happening is he begins to make his way to the door. But as he begins to make his way to the door, he stops and he says, oh, wait a minute. I forgot to tell you something. He picks up this little booklet, little thing, and he says, these here are your instructions. And if you have anything that has to happen in order for you to get out, or you get yourself in a bind, then you pay attention, read the instructions, and the instructions will give you clues to be able to get out of the situation that you're in. He then turns and he looks and he says, you see that monitor right there in the corner? He says, there's a camera here. I will be outside of the escape room, and I will be watching you to see and make sure that everything is going to go well for you. Also, if you get yourself into a bind, what you do is you look up here to this monitor, look at your instruction books, and I will give you clues according to your instruction book to be able to get out of the situation that you're in. Glorious time. And so it is here we have the same situation. Here on this morning, he says, the God told us, he says, I am your guide. But the owner has written these instructions. And if you get yourself into trouble before moving to the next step, just look at the instructions and they will instruct you on how to get out of your bind, to push you through, to push you forward, to progress, so that you will be able to escape your stagnant situation. But here on this morning, we have the same situation. Paul, under the power of the Holy Spirit, he is our guide. And God is our owner, who has given us instructions in the form of this book, so that it will provide the instructions to push us through forward, so that we can escape our stagnant situation. And that's where we are on this morning. Paul, the Apostle Paul, you might know him. The Apostle Paul, he penned this letter from the city of Corinth just before the end of his third missionary journey. Now, the thing about Paul is we know that Paul, he started many churches. That was his thing. He would go and he would plant. But unlike planting all these other churches, Paul did not start the church at Rome. History says that it was probably started by some converts who were converted on the day of Pentecost. But the thing about Paul is he really wanted to visit them, but there was something about that. The Holy Spirit had never allowed him to do that. But in God's providence, it was Paul's not being able to visit them was the fact that it gave us and the rest of the world this masterpiece epistle to the Romans that is pregnant with gospel doctrine. But Paul's primary purpose of writing this letter was to teach the great truths of the gospel of grace to believers who had never had any apostolic instruction. What am I talking about? Paul didn't have a personal relationship with them. He didn't know them like he would know other people on that personal relationship. He didn't know them like he knew the Philippian church. He didn't know them like he knew the Corinthian church. He didn't know them like he knew the Galatians. All he knew was that they had a church that had been started and that it was on the right track in the place that it was supposed to go. But unlike some of his other letters, his purpose for writing to the Romans was not to correct heretic theology as he did in his letter to the Galatians. It was not to rebuke ungodly living as he did in his two letters to the Corinthian church. But it was because the Roman church was doctrinally sound. But like all churches, even up to now, there still was a need for rich doctrine and practical instructions that this letter provides. Martin Luther said this. he said that the letter to the Romans is truly the most important piece in the New Testament. It is purest gospel, he says. It is well worth a Christian's while not only to memorize it word for word, but also to occupy himself with it daily as though it were the daily bread of their souls. The book of Romans, I can tell you my secret, is my favorite book of the Bible. I love theology. I love doctrine. And this book is pregnant with doctrine. Many of the theologians have said that the book of Romans, the letter to the Romans, is a Bible within itself. It's a mini Bible. And if you take it upon yourself, you should read it from time to time. You should get in it. It will really solidify your foundation to where you need to be as Christian in this life. But here, after his signature greeting and his opening greeting to the Roman church, it is where we find he begins to give us many of scriptures that we could use daily. Some of them might be familiar to you, but we've heard scriptures that says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." You may have heard, "There is none righteous, no, not one." You might have heard, "Since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." The book of Romans says, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." It says something like, "For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." As you move through, it says, "As through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all because all sinned. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" Book of Romans says, "Do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey its lusts." It says things like, "Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." You may have heard this one, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. For I do not do the good I want," Paul says, "but the evil I do not want to do is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me." It says something like this: "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." As you move through, you hear verses like, "For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If, in fact, the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him." It says something like this: "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words." It says something like, "The Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." "And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and who are the called according to his purpose. Then it says something that may be controversial. It says, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, in order that he may be the firstborn among many brothers. And those who he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he will indeed glorify. What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He says this, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. But then he says this in chapter 12, when we hate our president, when we hate those in leadership, it doesn't matter if we didn't like Obama. It doesn't matter if Trump isn't doing what we think he should do. But the scripture says this, let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And those who exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, watch this, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. And those who resist will bring judgment upon themselves. That's scripture. That's not me. This is God's words. But as we come to our text on this morning, after dealing with all of those rich doctrine, pregnant scriptures, verse 4 of our text, verse 15, Paul says what scripture means to us as believers. And so this verse talks about the reasons why we even have this book. And so here I want us to understand and take with us this morning just one little thing. This one little thing I want us to take is the big idea. The big idea is if we focus on learning the instructions of the scriptures, they will give us the encouragement to continue the race, the endurance to run the race, and will brighten our hope for a prosperous future of new beginnings. That's all I came by to tell us this morning, is that's what it is. So this brings us to my first point. My first point here we find here in the scriptures is that we must focus on the scripture for our instructions. Real simple. We must focus for the scripture for our instructions. Verse 4 says, for whatever was written in former days was written for our instructions. Here, in Paul's day, the readers there, they would have understood Paul by telling them that the hidden truths are hidden in the Old Testament. He didn't have no New Testament then. He was the New Testament. But he was telling them that the Old Testament has incorrigible purpose for them, and not just for them, but even for us still today. That is to say that all scripture has much spiritual benefit for all Christians for all times. It's still valuable for us. Some of us, we can't just throw away the Old Testament. Yes, it has to be preached correctly, but scripture has its all-encompassed source for us, all of it. And so Paul was telling them that the Old Testament is still valuable for you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17 says that all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and here it is, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. This is what scripture is. Scripture, it says, is God-breathed. When we want to go against scripture, we're going against God. When we want to talk about what we don't believe, we're telling God I don't believe that you said that. But it's right here in the Word of God. Always remember that when we go against what Scripture says, you're not going against the person that's saying it. I'm just the mailman. I'll just bring the mail. I didn't send you the bill. I just put it in your mailbox. And so when you deal with that right there, you're not getting mad at me. You're getting mad at the U.S. Post Office. Don't be careful about us doing that. Be careful about what we want to argue about what Scripture says. Because if Scripture correctly, Scripture in its right context, if it's given to you, I'm here to tell you, it might not feel so good. But it's not I who said it. It's not you who are saying it. It's God. Don't be afraid to go to people and give the gospel. Don't be afraid to tell people that if they don't get their lives right, that the Scripture says that all those will end up with hell in hell. Don't be afraid to tell them that. Because here's the thing. We feel that we shouldn't tell them certain things. Why? Because we don't want to offend nobody. But here's the point. You're not offending anybody. Who's offending is God. We're just the messenger. God is offensive if you don't love him. If you love him, he can't be offensive to you. He's just a loving father who loves his loving child. And so he's always going to tell you the right things to do. But we look at here and we've seen that all Scripture as a whole has a great purpose for us, both the Old and the New Testament, so Paul says. So all of us who have been born of the Spirit, here it is, we should be hungry. We should be hungry to be encouraged by the Scriptures. But we would rather do nothing to get all of the Word God has for us. And we would often rather to have the fruit without laboring in the fields of these pages to get its nourishment for us to grow. That's what most of us do. We should be going into the Scriptures daily. This is what we should be doing. And so even though it tells us that, it tells us something else. It says that it was written for our instruction. There is the purpose of the Scriptures. It's written to tell us to get somewhere. It's written to help us to grow somewhere. It's written to help us get somewhere that we're supposed to get. And so I hope that this is would be a little bit convicting for you. If you're waking up in the morning and you're not spending your time in the Word of God, then you should feel bad right now. Because this is written for our instructions. We shouldn't go out of our house without spending some time in the Word of God. Because we don't know what we're going to face out there. But the Scripture tells us as believers that all things that we face out there will work for our good. And so here, we see that it says it was written for our instructions. The literal meaning here is really means that it was written for our teaching. Written for teaching. And if they is written for our teaching, then we must be willing to learn. That's the purpose. If it's really written for our teaching, we must be willing to learn. And so it is that God has written down a lot of things here for us. And those things written down were written to teach us. And so our job is to get in and see what's written down for us so that we should learn. That's why it's important for us to implement into our lives Scripture memorization. Scripture memorization. Who did that? We must open our Bibles and learn what is there. You remember Scripture memorization? Our Lord used it. You remember when he was getting ready to be tempted by the devil? And it says that the Holy Spirit took him out there to be tempted. After he had already spent 40 days in fasting. And so he was hungry. Then the devil comes to him and he says, I know you're hungry. So if I know you're hungry, won't you go ahead and turn these stones into bread? So you don't have to be hungry anymore. But our Lord used Scripture. And he says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. That's what this is. Every word that comes out of the mouth of God. We shall not live by physical food. We won't live by the things that we come upon. We can't live off of those things. Yes, they are nourishment for our physical bodies, but we shall be living by the word of God. So here it is, we must spend our personal time there daily in order that we may become focused on being faithful and diligent to learn what God has for our spiritual benefit. And so we must be willing to learn what the scriptures teach if we expect to be encouraged by the truth of Scripture rather than by the reflections of our own prideful ideas and desires. This is what brings us to our second point, which says that we must focus on the scriptures to gain endurance and encouragement and living hope for where God is taking us. Look at verse 4 again. Not only that, it says it was written for our instruction, it says that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. A great preacher by the name of John Piper, still alive right now today. I would invite you to listen to him a little bit. A good friend of mine, a Pastor Likely, that was one of his greatest preachers. And John Piper said this. He says, when the instructions of the scriptures are properly understood, they produce endurance and encouragement. You see, what he's saying here is not the fact that you just get up and read the scriptures. You must be getting immersed in the scriptures. You must do the hard work to find out what the meaning really is. You see, the scriptures weren't written for us primarily. It was written for the people then in those days. So what would that mean to a person who's doesn't have a Cadillac? What would that mean to the person who doesn't have the Buick? They walked everywhere. So they would have understood the scriptures a little bit different. And it's important for us to understand what these scriptures mean for them and what does it mean for us today. If we're doing that, then they're properly understood. And John Piper says that when they're properly understood, they will produce endurance. And they will produce encouragement. And so it is, it's what we have to have to keep going on in our path of obedience. When we feel miserable and when we meet all kinds of opposition, we must be studying the scriptures. Here's a question: where does our endurance and encouragement come from? Well, Paul says it comes from the scriptures. We get a bad report from the doctor, and then we remember scriptures that come to mind, like 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 through 18 says, we do not lose heart. Through our outer self is wasting away. Our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, for the things that are seen are temporary, but the things that are unseen are eternal. You get that bad report from the doctor, and you remember scriptures like that, because it isn't compared to an eternal weight of glory that is waiting on us. We fall on hard times, and it seems as though the people around us who don't even love God, who are not even serving God, who are out on the lake right now this morning fishing, when you're at church trying to get a word, and it seems like they have everything going together, and we don't. Their suffering isn't like our suffering. We're the ones that's getting the bad reports. We're the ones that's out here struggling to make ends meet. And these people, it seems like they have it all together. Their kids aren't going crazy. They're putting them in the finest schools. And we're around here struggling. But I would encourage you to remember scriptures that says like this. Psalms chapter 1 verses 1 through 3 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the rivers of water that yields its fruit in due season, and its leaf does not wither, and in all that he does, he prospers. You see, the scripture says that when we meditate on this word day and night, when we focus on it, we'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. A tree planted by the rivers of water wouldn't do anything but grow, because it's already next to the source. You see, that water is the scriptures. And we will be that tree because we're rooted in the source. And we will not be able to move. Nothing would never shake us. But then you might get some bad news. Bad news that all of us have incurred. A loved one may have passed away. But the scripture says this. It says that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You see, the scriptures instruct us on how we can keep going on in our lives of faith in spite of our struggles, in spite of our setbacks, in spite of our frustrations. We can keep going on in the scriptures in spite of our misunderstandings, in spite of our disputes, in spite of our arguments, in spite of our fallouts, in spite of our persecutions, in spite of our temptations. We can go on. The book of Job, many of you know about Job, where the question is, how does one keep trusting God when it seems that God himself has turned against you? But Paul understood this because he remembered Job. He remembered the Old Testament. And he told them, remember Job. How when you ask God that question, God told Job, gird up your loins. I'm God. God gave Job a word. Then later on in the book, at the end of God giving him the business, Job said, I know that you are God. And I'll never turn against that anymore. Not only in the book of Job, but in the book of Hebrews, we find what's called the Great Hall of Faith. We find people, a long list of people who lived by faith and never gave up, because they knew that God had given his word. So it is, scripture encourages us to stick with it. Scripture encourages us to keep in mind that the encouragement of the scripture is at the same time the comfort of the scriptures. And it is here that the Bible always has an appropriate word in a season for us at any given time, in any situation that we find ourselves in. It's in the word. It's in the word. The word will comfort you when you're mourning. The word will give boldness to the timid at heart. The word will call to order those who go astray from the word of God. And not only will they instruct, but they will give us endurance and encouragement, but it lastly gives us hope. That's what it says right here. That the scriptures, we might have hope. During World War II, some men in a German prison camp, received a secret message that Germany had surrendered to his allies. But it was 3 days before the Germans in charge of the prison had heard the news. So during those 3 days, their grim circumstances were no different than before. But their spirits were uplifted. Why? Because they now had hope. It was because that the news was certain, but not yet realized. That's here what we see in the scriptures for us. We know that all things work together. We know that we will be glorified. We know that nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We know that. And that's what gives us hope. We do not have our final destination as we are where God is taking us in this season and even in our Christian lives. But even though we are not yet without sin, even though we are not yet living in perfect harmony and communion with God and with one another, but as long as we know and that we keep striving for that, we are certain that it is a fact that we will get there. Why? Because that is exactly what hope is found in the Word of God. In Romans chapter 5, it says this. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. It says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace to which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our suffering, knowing that sufferings produce endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. We have the hope for our character. We have the hope that produces the endurance. We have the hope that it produces the patience. How we know that? Because it's in the Word. It's in the Scriptures. So you see, we are driven and sustained by hope. And this means that if you are not reading your Scriptures daily and immersed throughout all 66 books, you are missing your major source of hope in the midst of any of your trials. Or if you are reading your Word and it is not changing how you think and how you process your trials and how you feel in the midst of your trials, then you might not be reading them correctly. You see, here's the point. We need the Word of God, because ultimately it points us to Christ, who is all sufficient and all we need for every one of life's situations. And so we need the Word because it instructs us in godly living in the midst of an ungodly world. We need it to give us endurance. We need it to give us encouragement, and we need it to give us our living hope as we focus on moving to our next level of greatness for his glory. If you're sitting here this morning and you missed my message, please remember my story. We just got a car right before Y'all see it out there, that Cadillac. We had another one. We got that car, and I remember that I was down there at the Cadillac place and sitting there with the man, and we're there, and he begins to tell me all about the car. He's sitting in the passenger seat, and I'm sitting there, and he wants to tell me, well, this car, I want to show you all of these features. Show you this. Look at this. And look at that. And yeah, you do this. And oh, yeah, it'll do this. And oh, yeah, it'll do that. And it'll do this. And I'm sitting there. There's no lie. I'm sitting there, and I'm really saying in my mind, yeah, man, I just want to go. You know, I've been here all day. I'm just ready to go. And he says, you know, if you have any questions, though, here's my car. Give me a call. I say, all right, man, thank you very much. Shook his hand, and he got out. I proceeded to call my wife. I said, Cherie, this guy, man, he's in the car. He's telling me this, you know, if you do this right here. She's laughing. She said, yeah. She said, what did you say? I said, well, I didn't say nothing. But in my mind, I was saying, I don't need you to tell me anything. Because I know that the car that I'm buying comes with the book. And that book will give me the instructions to any little detail that I need so that this car can do what it needs to do. I'm here to tell us on this morning that we have a book. I don't need nobody to tell me a whole lot of anything. I just need you to agree with me that it's in the book. That's what I'm here to tell you this morning, is that we have to do one thing. We need to focus on the factor that all we have to do is follow the instructions. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we come to you right now, and we thank you that you've allowed us to open your word on this morning. I ask right now, Father God, that you would continuously bless us. Continuously keep us, Lord God. But help us as we move into this season of life, oh God. Help us to focus on your instructions. To focus on your word. To focus on the book. We thank you this morning. That everyone, oh God, under the sound of my voice, has been blessed. And that we will take this message and continuously get in this word so that we can be strengthened to do what you have called us to do. We thank you and we praise you and we bless you on this morning. In your son Jesus' name, amen.